Okay, everyone, welcome to the February meeting of the Meander Valley Council. Welcome to visitors in the gallery. Welcome to councillors. Please, councillors, try and remember to use your microphones at all times. I know it can be hard, and especially when we're all wearing masks, it's that much worse. Apologies in the interim for the Deputy Mayor, who's on his way here at the moment. So we'll make a start. So, obviously in the paperwork, in your minutes, there's meeting conduct, there's the COVID-19 Disease Emergency Act 2020, there's the General Standards of Conduct and Behaviour, Access and Inclusion of People with Disability, Security Procedures, and I'll read these out, so because it tells me I have to read these out, evacuation details and information located on the wall near the entry to the chambers. In the unlikelihood of an emergency evacuation, alarm will sound and evacuation wardens will assist with the evacuation. When directed, everyone will be required to exit in an orderly fashion through the front doors and go directly to the evacuation point, which is in the car park at the side of the town hall. Moving on. You have the table of contents. Where in my agenda is our... I was going to punch it. It's up there. It's not here. It's just further over. I'm going to keep going. Bear with me. It's not in the agenda. Just do an acknowledgement of country. We acknowledge the Palitor and the Paniaha, past peoples and the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather today, and pay our respects to elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Thank you. So, table of contents, moving on. We've got present, we've obviously said the apologies from Deputy Mayor. The attendance are those listed. And I'd like to confirm the minutes from the meeting of the 18th of January 2022. Would somebody like to move? Councillor White to move. A seconder, thank you. Councillor Sheriff, thank you. All those in, sorry, any discussion, councillors, on the minutes? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. That is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. Council workshops held since last meeting are listed. Obviously, announcements by the Mayor is listed. Are there any announcements by councillors that are not listed in the agenda? Take that as no. Declarations of interest. General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we have five declarations from interest at today's meeting from councillors. One from yourself, which I consider a material conflict of interest and requires you to consider excusing yourself. The balance from Stephanie Cameron, Tanya King, Andrew Sheriff and Rodney Sinfield speak to indirect or retail / commercial relationships of a once-only or transactional nature, and I do not consider them to be significant to the extent that would warrant removal from the discussion or decision.
Thanks, General Manager. Are there any tabling and actions of petitions?
Neil.
Thank you. We're heading into public question time. Public question time can go for no more than 30 minutes. Questions with notice and questions without notice. So moving along, public question time. Are there any questions from the public? There was public questions taken on notice. There were nil. Obviously questions with notice, and they are there in the agenda with the responses from staff to those. Okay, sorry, just late on the screen. So, okay, so we have a late minutes question on notice. Okay, that's not in our agenda, but it is actually there on the screen. Other GM, you want to read that out so that everyone can...
The question is from Mr. James Redgrave of Deloraine, and the question goes, Council has no policy on poultry or livestock, yet its website states... prior to obtaining the animal, check with council to ensure you're allowed to keep the animal and you can adequately cater for it to its needs. Being one of the largest rural councils in Australia, it is quite amazing there is no policy around livestock or poultry, considering all but prospect of our municipality is rural, and we would have millions of livestock and poultry within our boundaries. There has been many nuisance and health issues raised in the last few years in regards to poultry and livestock, and it's not good enough for council to simply say what is written on its website. The ratepayers and residents of the whole of Meander deserve better. When is council going to bring us into the modern world and simply adopt another well-constructed policy by many councils on poultry and livestock within Tasmania or Australia? It's a very simple process and allows us, all of us, some certainty around these issues. The website is in its current existence needs clarification, which can be simply done by policy. And the response from Krista, Director of Development and Regulatory Services. Krista, I might let you read that out.
With your microphone, please, Krista.
Council currently managed any nuisance relating to the keeping of poultry or livestock under the provisions of the Environmental Management and Pollution Control Act 1994 and the Local Government Act 1993. The website provides some generalist advice to landholders about keeping livestock, including the statement referenced above, why council does not monitor or control livestock ownership in the municipality. We do assist residents to understand their obligations with regard to issues like nuisance or stray livestock. I will organise a review of the website content to ensure that position is clear. There is currently no written policy or bylaw in the Meander Valley Municipality related to poultry or livestock ownership. Ultimately, that is a matter for councillors as elected representatives to consider from a policy perspective. However, it is noted that a policy would attract the same set of principles and limitations as council's enforcement of nuisance complaints. That is, council must have appropriate, reliable evidence that can be tested and proved in court if necessary before utilising its statutory powers to undertake compliance actions against any private citizen.
The second question is, there is a rumour going around that council may have at a waste facility placed the wrong material down and has had to, at considerable cost, remove the material and replace it with the appropriate material. Can council please clarify if this rumour is true or not, as it was stated that the cost may be in excess of $750,000, which is a considerable adjustment to the budget of Meander Valley Council, and if true, this should be in the public arena with how, why and what measures are now in place to stop this kind of wasted ratepayers' dollars being misused to cover up.
Response from Dino on that one.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council contacted Mr. Redgrave to understand the context to the rumour noted in the question above. The question is in relation to construction of the new landfill cell area at the Cluin landfill site. Council's budget for the cell expansion at Cluin was $430,800. Whilst there was additional gravel material imported to the site to complete the cell liner and waste from the adjacent cell moved into the new cell to provide additional protection and a working face for tipping, the final costs were within the approved budget. Costs incurred against the project to date are $396,358. It is noted that capital works projects with costs over $20,000 are listed in Council's annual report, together with the value of contracts and supplier details for other projects over $100,000 in value.
Thank you for that. Any public questions without notice? If that is no, thank you. Moving on to Councillor Question Time. Councillor Questions Taken on Notice are a nil. Councillor Questions With Notice are nil. Councillor Questions Without Notice. Councillors. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have four. Sorry, I'm breathless with this mask. One is there any update on the proposed prison since the last council meeting?
Not from me, Councillor.
Thank you.
through you, Mr. Mayor, only advice from the state government in relation to their public information sessions.
Thank you. The next one was, around this time last year, we received a report on Council's actions concerning climate change for the previous year. It was also planned to have a workshop agenda item on this matter, which doesn't seem to have taken place. What are our plans regarding climate change for this year, and will we be considering involvement with the SBTI?
Could I have a clarification on the SBTI, Councillor?
It's science-based, science-based targets initiative.
Okay.
Which is where a lot of the large companies, I know we're a small organisation, but that's where a lot of the large companies in the world are heading at the moment for referencing their, what they could be doing to help.
Thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, as discussed previously at workshop, we're looking at a report on the climate change circumstance and what possible things the Council could consider doing in the March workshop. And we are also working with Northern Regional Councils in terms of joint funding, University of Tasmania research in terms of the Northern Tasmanian impacts of climate change. Councillors are always free to put a motion up on any initiative and present that for a vote to Council.
Thank you. The third one is, it currently seems that the primary criterion for the style of residential development within the Amanda Valley in particular and Tasmania in general is the maximum yield for the developer. What will the future population of our various villages and towns within the Amanda Valley be based on this criterion?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council, I don't have the information to answer such a speculative question.
And the last one is, late last year, Council conducted a survey of Carrick residents and ratepayers. When will the results of the survey become known?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The survey results are being tabulated at the moment, and we're anticipating that they'll come to workshop on the 22nd, isn't it, of February.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other questions from councillors without notice? Take that as note. Moving on, any deputations by members of the public? Jim, take that as nil.
Nil, Mr.
Thank
Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, before we move in and act as a planning authority, obviously there was a little bit of newspaper reports in the Examiner this morning. Councillor Friedrich got a mention, I did read that, regarding deers. That's totally opposite to what we're talking about around the table, but that's fine. And I will step out of the next planning authority item, but not on the basis of a threat from the Tasmanian Environment Association, but on the reasons that were disclosed prior to that. So very disappointing to see those make the light of day in the Examiner. But moving on. So for the purpose of considering the following planning authority items, Council is acting as a planning authority under the provisions of Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. And I will excuse myself. That is, yes, councillors, you now need to elect a chair.
Sorry, I was nominating Councillor Deb White on the probably on the basis of her experience and that she's probably one of the only ones that hasn't issued a concern about their conflict.
Thank you, Councillor Cameron. I refuse the nomination. I'd like to nominate Tanya King.
I'll second it. You got the job.
No, they did.
You got the job. No, don't say anything.
Well,
just
on
go.
On the basis that my conflict of interest.
You need to have a vote now. That's all four. Then you've been interim chair.
Okay. So we've already moved into planning, haven't we?
Yes.
It won't take his agenda.
Yeah.
Thank you.
we are in planning authority mode.
All right.
And so we're into planning authority one.
All right, okay, I won't drink Wayne's water. I'd just like to thank all the representatives who have taken the time to present their concerns, and we have five speakers registered for today, and I would like to invite William Arthur to the lectern to have his opportunity to speak. William, you have 3 minutes. And just for the benefit of all of the speakers, we're not in a position to answer any questions today, merely to listen to your concerns.
Yes, my name's William Arthur. Is that clear, everybody here? We live out at 465 River Road, Reedy Marsh. And last November, my wife bumped into, she's here today, she bumped into a lady and we were told about a quarry being built out there, and this was only 3 or 4 days before the time closed off to put an application in. And if we hadn't seen her that day, we wouldn't have known anything about it. And we're landholders out there, and the creek that runs from the proposed quarry runs directly into our property and then meets up with Dungiven Creek, which runs into the Meander River not far further down the track near the concrete bridge there that runs on River Road. So we're rather concerned about any runoff from the mine that would affect our livestock, our water. We have a bore which we put in 2010, and we drink that water. It's perfect drinking water, and it's in line with the area that comes down from that particular bluestone. Our bore is 50 metres, 45 and 50 metres down in bluestone. It cost a lot of money to put in, but it's made us independent of having have any water, and we can't drink the creek water because it's not suitable to drink. Dungiven Creek was okay to use on the garden, but the other creek, we found out it's dry at the moment, that comes from the mine, but it runs for nearly 9 months of the year. So we're against the mine being put in there for that reason. The council made our area, and I've been involved in that ever since the council decided to make the Reedy Marsh area rural living. I attended a meeting in around about 2012 where the big boys from down at Hobart come up, and they got me to get up and speak ad lib and explain what we were doing out there. And they were quite happy with what we spoke about, but this has come as a bit of a shock, this mine going in. So we don't know what sort of chemicals they're using in the mine, and whether the water's going to be grey when it comes out and pollute our waterway. Dungiven Creek, we've got trout in there, we've got platypus, plenty of wildlife, birds, ducks, etc., etc., and it's a beautiful area to live in. And we are in the process of subdividing our property, which is over 200 acres, into four blocks. We're still going to keep about 100 acres there. So we don't want this mine impacting on the rural living area. And it may, I don't know. I'm not an underground expert, but that's basically what I want to say about it. And if anybody wants to ask me any questions, I can try and answer them.
Thank you, William. Our next registered speaker is Margaret Brown. Is Margaret not in attendance? Okay, moving along, we have Graham Brown. Also not in attendance. Nigel Bedford.
Nigel Bedford, represent my wife as well, Eugenie. We've lived 32 years, I think it is, 21 River Road, and we've got 27 River Road as well. I think we've got one chance to get the conditions right on this as far as the traffic's associated. I want part A of the recommendations, the conditions that you've got up on the overhead, to include access to and from the new development site for laden and unladen trucks is to be restricted to Portsbridge Road and Meander Valley Road route, apart from local deliveries to Reedy Marsh customers. The reason for this is the traffic impact assessment only covers the route out onto Meander Valley Road. And we all know that there is an alternate route but it's isn't viable, and it's not safe, and it's not efficient. I think that in the further down on this recommendation thing, where council looks at the performance criteria on the development and the traffic, the traffic impact assessment doesn't exclude the use of River Road and West Parade, but it in the I think page 6 of the traffic impact assessment, it only considers in detail the Meander Valley Road intersection. I don't see why council hasn't also said that there's no need for the use of River Road and West Parade further down in that report. That's about all I've got to say. I really don't want fully laden or unladen truck and trailers going down River Road, because it's bad enough as it is now with sort of the trucking that we've got. So thanks for your time.
Thank you, Nigel. We do have Doug Tangi from Walters contracting to address council.
Not speaking.
Not speaking today? All right. We don't have anybody else registered to speak, so... all right. Could I please call for somebody to move and second the motion that's before us? Thanks. Moved, Councillor Cameron.
Sheriff.
And seconded, Councillor Sheriff. Thank you. Councillor Cameron, would you like to speak?
Thanks, Councillor King, and thank you for your beautiful position at the helm. look, I think I disagree with Councillor King in thanking the representatives, particularly the ones that have come along to speak today. Look, I think I learned a fair bit about quarries in the last couple of weeks, and certainly probably have more to learn. But my view is on this application that the applicants really started this quite some time ago, and I have highlighted here that the mineral resources, they did get their mining lease well before this application was even submitted. They've had the traffic impact assessment, the EPA... people of, you know, far above my level of competency have looked at this, and it's been passed, and it's come to us. And really, in one sense, there's not a lot I can say other than agree or disagree with the reports that have been presented, and I do agree. So, you know, I do appreciate there's a lot of concerns, particularly with traffic, and I think someone mentioned the train park with children and things like that, but we've had a bit of a discussion about that. I think Councillor White was going to ask a question along those lines, so I'll just leave it up to the open it for discussion.
Thank you, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Sheriff.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to thank the representatives for coming in and stating their case. I'd also like to thank the planners for their good work as usual on this. I think, as Mr Bedford said, it's not viable to travel on the River Road. And although I did think about putting alternate motion forward to restrict heavy vehicles from travelling that road, I think if that was to take place, we'd probably be left with no trucks being able to use that road. Now, the EPA have done, obviously, their studies on that, and as Councillor Cameron said, that's well above our pay grade. So I'm happy to hear what other councillors think about this, but I think he's right in stating that it isn't viable, and I think I'd find to be very Irish for any truck, especially where Walters want to put their quarry, to be using that part of the road unless someone up River Road wanted some blue metal delivered. So I'm happy to put it to discussion and see what the other councillors have got to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Sheriff. Councillor White.
Thanks.
So I have a question. So in response to the request from Mr. Bedford that council conditions the access and egress from the site, we as council have explored the process required to extend the conditions in OP2. Could the planning consultant and director of infrastructure summarise the discussion and its conclusion, please?
Through you, Chair. So the planning scheme requires assessment of the use and development against the Road and Railway Asset Code. The Road and Railway Asset Code raises the issue of vehicle movements, and I must be very clear, it doesn't consider noise or vibration that might result from vehicle movements. So the question is, in assessing the performance criteria of whether there is a safe traffic movement and what impact there is on the network. We have a traffic impact assessment that's been prepared by an expert, and we've relied on it for the assessment. And that traffic impact assessment has also been supported by the Road Authority, which is the Meander Valley Council. But now I'll put over to Infrastructure, Director of Infrastructure, to elaborate on other regulations we have in place with respect to the use of roads.
Through you, Chair. The traffic impact assessment, I guess, states what has been commented on today, in that alternate access along River Road is not viable. And travelling through to Deloraine is inappropriate. So that's clearly stated in the TIA. And I guess you take from that all traffic would be heading towards Meander Valley Road. In saying that, there may be local deliveries in the area. There could also be instances in the future where there's damage to Porter's Bridge Road. It could be washed out underwater, and traffic may need to travel along River Road. Council does have the ability under the Local Government Highways Act to load limit roads on the basis of concern around damage to road infrastructure. That load limit would impact all road users, whether it's forestry activities or farming operations. So it creates quite a situation for council to manage in terms of restricting one user of that road and not others. It can be done. But from a planning perspective, I understand that it's complications around applying a condition, which is essentially changing or amending the EPA condition.
Thanks, Tony. I have another question. What do people do if they have made a complaint but are not satisfied with the outcome? A complaint about quarry operations, whatever it might be. So there is a complaints procedure. My question is, what happens if the person is not satisfied with the outcome of that?
Through you, Chair.
Thank you.
Councillor White, my view on that is that anyone who has any complaints moving forward associated with that activity, that they would contact council in the first instance. Depending on the nature of the issue, it may be an environmental issue, it may be a road safety issue, it could be damage to infrastructure issue. That would then dictate where it flows to next, whether it's something that our planning team need to refer to the EPA or whether it's an infrastructure issue that I might need to deal with. So I think the first point of call should be to council to raise the issue.
I'm sorry, sir, we can't take questions from the gallery. Any other councillors have any questions or comments? Thanks, Councillor Sinfield.
Yes, some questions. Just to clarify what's been said by the Director of Infrastructure, the recommendation, if approved, says that in the first part, the approval is generally in accordance with the endorsed plans, one of which is the traffic and civil services one. And the comment from the director was that that study has identified that River Road is inappropriate. So does that have the strength of an actual condition in a permit that the enforcement of it is, it's identified it as inappropriate? Is that sufficient to carry weight? I mean, I agree with some earlier comments. It's highly unlikely they will go the long way around to get anywhere, but is that and a number of other things that I might raise in a moment enforceable by the fact that they're in that document? What weight does that carry? If that makes sense.
Through you, Chair, I understand the question. It may be a legal question there. I don't know whether Heidi's able to answer that in terms of the strength of relying on the TIA that's approved as part of the planning permit. Yeah. I'm not too sure, Heidi, if you'd like to comment on that one.
Through you, Chair. Generally, with the material, we say generally in accordance with. They have identified the primary route being away from River Road and going out to the quickest way possible to the Bass Highway, unless there is, of course, deliveries. And the TIA doesn't prohibit as such, but essentially they've made application to say generally the vehicle movements will be in this direction.
Okay. Thanks, Rodney.
Another one in much the same vein is the environmental effects report talked about them only blasting 1 to 3 times a year. I can't quote the page at the moment. The EIA, the Environmental Impacts Assessment, said that they could blast between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., giving notice and all those sorts of things. Is there the requirement or complying or acting in accordance with the plan itself from Van Diemen Consulting, does that in fact limit them to 3 blasts a year, or does the EIA in saying you can blast between 10 and 4 mean that theoretically you could blast every day of the week over the year?
Through you, Chair. Essentially, the EPA, so the planning permit in front of you today for consideration has 2 components. It has Part A and Part B. Part B are those conditions imposed by the Environment Protection Authority, and they essentially, the conditions that are imposed by Part B, the proponent must operate in accordance with those conditions. So that's the same as the issue of vehicle movements, where the EPA has put a condition on about certain times that movement can occur, in the same way they've regulated other components. So yes, so if the application has said one thing but a permit condition says otherwise, then the proponent must operate in accordance with the condition.
But I guess my question are they in conflict or are they complementary? So you could blast, for example, if that held true, you could blast 3 times a year as long as you did it between 10 and 2, or you can blast innumerable times per annum as long as you did it between 10 and 2.
Through you, Chair, we're just getting the permit Part B up.
If there are any other questions or comments from councillors, I'm happy to take those while we source the information we're looking for in Part B. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Chair. My question is, if there is not to be any baseline survey or study of the issues that are concerning nearby residents as to how this quarry may impact upon their property or lifestyles, if there is not to be any baseline survey, then how would they be able to prove that there has been a change, if some deleterious change were to occur?
Dino, are you happy to take that question, or is that something for the Krista? Okay. I'm sorry, Councillor Temple, I haven't got anyone to answer your
through
question
you,
just at the moment.
I'll have a crack. We'll just wait for the planners to put their two bobs worth in, but a baseline study is certainly one way to establish the conditional circumstance around properties. The other one is for individuals who are in proximity to the quarry and its operation to compile evidence of their own circumstance, the condition of the property, condition of water and everything else, to present that should any need arise.
So, Councillor White?
Yes, just for the Director of Infrastructure, would you care to comment, just for Mr Bedford's benefit, on why the TIA did not specifically prohibit traffic movements along the River Road route?
Through you, Chair. To clarify why the TIA did not
The traffic impact assessment does not specifically prohibit movements from the quarry to go along the River Road route. Would you care to comment on why this was so? I believe you said to me that they didn't think it was necessary.
Yes, Councillor. The TIA said it was there was no viable alternate access other than, I guess, their consideration of going down to Meander Valley Road. So I can only consider that, you know, from a business proposition, you know, cartage costs, it's purely around, I guess, the economics in terms of running that quarry. So it's just not viable from a financial perspective for them to run that other way around. That would be my take on why it was excluded. Yep.
Referring back to the question from Councillor Sinfield.
Through you, Chair. The conditions by the EPA that have been put on as Part B are essentially regulated and controlled by the EPA. We do not have any jurisdiction over those. They have put limits in place, but in terms of how many times or if there is an issue, it's up to the EPA to enforce those.
Thank you. Are there any further? Councillor White.
Thank you. Our first speaker this afternoon was concerned about water quality. Would any of the directors care to direct that person to the part of the planning application that deals with all the measures put in place, just so that that person has the information they need?
Through you, Chair, if I can. We'd go back to the EPA conditions because they do the assessment on flora and fauna and water quality.
Okay, any further questions or comments? Or are we still going back to the EPA? Councillor Sinfield.
Yes, I raised this earlier, not unhappy with the answer, but I'd just like it for the record a comment about landslip and how that's dealt with in the assessment or in some other way, and what the ramifications of that are going forward, given that there was some general mapping showing that the mining lease was in or around and surrounded by low and medium risk or low and medium landslip hazard areas identified on our mapping, and who might deal with that or have already dealt with that. If we can get a comment on that from the Director of Planning or the Planning Consultant, please.
Through you, Chair. Essentially, the issue of landslip is considered under C15, the Landslip Hazard Code. The code provides a series of exemptions for areas that are identified to be in a landslip hazard band. The exemption provided here is, I don't have the clause right in front of me, but there is an exemption for a mining lease from the code, where a mining lease has been granted under the Minerals Resources Act, providing it excludes a hazardous use. There is no hazardous use component to the quarry, as there is no storage of explosives on the quarry site. So council has no jurisdiction to assess that component of the application. Having said that, when the proponent went through to obtaining a mining lease, landslip is considered in that process. And if the MRT thought it was appropriate or there was a risk, it would exclude certain areas from the mining lease area where there was a risk of landslip. The other component to that is the proponent is also responsible under the Work and Health and Safety Act to 2012 to obtain advice from a geotechnical expert.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments? All right. Councillor Sheriff is the seconder of the motion.
I haven't got a lot to add. Obviously, there's 440 pages of stuff here that's gone into a lot of detail. The EPA are no walk in the park when it comes to environmental things like this. I think we also need to be mindful that there is a another mine site in close proximity to this that isn't causing any problems that we're aware of. And I don't really have a problem with it. Thanks.
Mover of the motion, Councillor Cameron, would you like to close?
Just to thank the planners and everyone that's worked on this application. I do appreciate that there's been a lot of work going into that. I think we've had a pretty good discussion today. Also note that there is a considerable amount of work that needs to be done at the entrance of the quarry to make that a lot safer, which I think is really important to note. So that's all I have to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cameron. All right, so the motion as put, if we could have a show of hands and your indication of which way you... So all in favour? Councillor Cameron, White, Sinfield, Sheriff, Frederick and King. Yes, thank you. And against, Councillor Temple. Okay, I declare the motion carried. Did I get it right? Thank you to those in the gallery who have attended for the item. You are not obligated to stay for the rest of the meeting, but you're most welcome to if you choose.
Right, so moving out of Planning Authority into the rest of the agenda.
Yeah,
Neither did I, Councillor. I don't know what you're talking about, to be quite honest, but anyway. Okay. Moving along, let me find my pen, sorry. No, I had it there. Had it here. Page 441, Governance 1. Confirmation of our AGM minutes, meeting minutes. Would somebody like to move? Somebody like to second that? Councillor White, thank you. A second of... That's fine. I don't know how to comment to that, but anyway. Right. Anyway, so we've got a mover, Councillor White. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor King, thank you. Open up for discussions there. Councillor Frydrick has said his bit. Councillor Temple? In that case, then, GM, Governance Officer, I'll let that motion lapse. We have, but we haven't voted on it.
So, through you, Mr. Mayor, we can still receive and confirm the minutes in terms of the accuracy. Next AGM, we need to formally adopt them in the context of that future meeting.
Happy to do that, GM. Councillors. Happy to move the motion that is in front of you? Yep. All right, I'll ask you, so any other discussion? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. Thank you. That's Johnson, Sheriff Temple, sorry, Johnson, Sheriff Cameron, King, White. Have I missed anyone? Frydrick? I was. I lost it. I was going there. I was all over there. But he didn't put his hand up. So that's... Got six, Chloe? Yep, so, okay, so those against? There's no one against. Councillors Temple and Sinfield haven't voted. They're abstaining. Well, it's been received and confirmed. Either. Majority's voted. We'll look to when we get the next AGM. Governance 2. So, you've got recommendation there. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second the motion as it sits. Thank you, Councillor King. Seconder, councillors. Councillor Sheriff, thank you. As a mover of the motion, Councillor King.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to express my disappointment that the Minister does not support our amendment, but also note that he is favouring a sector-wide approach, which I also think would probably be a better outcome longer term. So I do understand why he's chosen to do that. And happy to hand it over.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillor Sheriff, as the second of the motion.
No, nothing to add, thanks.
Thank you. Open up for questions, comments, councillors. Councillor Cameron.
My question is just with C of the recommendation. Approve the development of a motion to be tabled at the GAT general meeting. I'd like to see the motion before I approved it, that's all. It's probably my comment.
Yep.
Yeah, it just, I'm just wondering, does it, what am I doing?
Mr. Mayor, Councillor, you're approving the development of a motion. We'll bring that motion back along with any other matters to be determined by at the Legat meeting for Councillor consideration. So it won't go ahead without further opportunity for review.
Jackie? Just hold it on for a bit longer.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, just as an addendum, the next general meeting is in March. The deadline has already passed for a motion to that meeting. So there'll be a reasonable amount of time for consultation with councillors just to address that concern, and that's the intention of the drafting of this motion. Hence the use of the word just the development of, as opposed to submission of, or... Yep.
I should add, councillors, that I've had a discussion with the chair of Legat regarding Meander Valley Council putting up a motion of the Council Code of Conduct. There is a review at the moment through the Local Government Association, through the office, Government Office of Code of Conduct. And so therefore, yes, she's, Christina, I should say, the president is, would like that to come forward if it suits this council to bring it forward for the whole of the sector to look at. So that's my discussion. As Jackie said, it'll miss this meeting, which is in March, and it'll go to one in... Yeah, so it's a while away. Anyway, that's my discussion. Councillors, anything else to add? Councillor Temple?
I'd be happier just to receive the letter from the minister and refer it to a workshop.
Yes, and I guess, Councillor, that would feed into number C as well, develop a motion. So we'll workshop it, obviously. So I think A, B and C are all... Anyway.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I guess the purpose of this motion is to formally deal with the Minister's letter. The process of developing the motion and the content... and approval of that motion would go through the workshop and normal processes.
You can flag an alternative motion, obviously. Anything else, councillors? Any other questions, comments, discussion? Councillor White?
Yes, further to Councillor Temple's comment, I'm actually in favour of parts A, B and C because it specifies actions, and I'm all for specific actions that get things done. So I think it's quite handy to have it spelled out like that.
Thanks, Councillor. Anything else, councillors? No, okay. Councillor Sheriff as the second on the motion. Anything to add? No. Councillor King as the mover. Nothing to add. Okay, councillors, I put the motion as it stands. All those in favour, please raise your hand and say aye. Right. That is Councillors Johnston, Cameron, White, King, Sheriff and Friedrich. I went round the room that time. All those against? Councillors Simfield and Temple. Thank you. Motion passed. Over to page 454, Governance 3. Okay, so you've got a recommendation in front of you. Would somebody like to move, somebody like to second? Councillor Sheriff as a mover. Seconder, Councillor White, thank you. Councillor Sheriff as the mover of the motion.
I'd like to congratulate the conduct panel for having a bit of common sense here. I'd also got a bit of a question on this. Does anyone know what this actually cost the council in way of staff hours and whatnot?
That's for you to answer, Jim.
Not specifically, councillor. I know the code of conduct panel charges a fee to council. It's probably in the order of close to $2,000 minimum charge for that transaction. Obviously, preparing a case to respond to the allegations of the complaint takes a substantial amount of time. Both my time as general manager, the governance officer's time, and of course the mayor and subsequent attendance. So I would hazard a guess that it would probably be close to around $10,000 rounded up if you went through the process of summing it up.
Can I just add, Councillor, it was I didn't add them up in the end, but it was 140 or 50 pages of documents to respond to questions. I say the GM and the governance officer and myself, had to go back through numerous emails over a fair period of time to find the relevant documents, questions, queries and respond to it. And that happened three times, I think, from memory, because Sharon, Miss Webb, obviously asked for more questions and more answers as I went through. So it was a strain on all of us, to be quite honest. Anything else, Councillor?
I'm just disappointed that, it, you know, we all sit around this table for the better good of the municipality and quite often get drug over the coals for things that really should be left alone and to be proven innocent in the long run, and it costs the council and the ratepayers money. So I'm just disappointed in the whole scenario.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor White, as a seconder. No, thank you. Councillor Sinfield, open up. Thanks, Councillor. Jackie.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, just to address that concern. The last time there was a code of conduct matter before council, there is a requirement of tabling, of course, at the next available meeting, which is why this is being tabled today. And the last time that there was a code of conduct determination, this is the method that was used to table it. So I've simply followed the convention of previous report writer. Whether there's a motion or not, I think it is useful for council to receive and note the contents of the report today.
Thanks, Jackie. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wish to report that I had a phone call from Ms. Webb today. She advised me that she was concerned about the word may in the first main paragraph of page 455, which said may also discontinue her involvement with the Gazette. And she texted me to say, having checked my transcript of the hearing, I said I didn't know about my future with the Gazette. Since then, I have taken a break from the Gazette because of ill health, but I returned to writing for the Gazette for the February 2022 edition and will continue in that role. Thank you.
Good for her, Councillor. Yep. Anything else, Councillors? If not, from my point of view, yep, it was a stressful period. Allegations and bits and pieces, but anyway, the panel, all the evidence was put on the table, independent panel looked at it, and there's the findings. I can't add any more than that. Okay, so I'll put the motion in. All those in favour, please say aye or raise your hands. Thank you, that's unanimous. Thank you. Alright, so been in closed. Yep. So somebody like to move, somebody like to second that we meeting's closed to the public. That's Councillor White. This is Councillor Sheriff, had his hand up. He did. All those in favour, please say aye. Against?